Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
125.
125.
Yes, those are the same numbers. So we're back after
in a slightly similar order.
That's an exact yes. You gave them to us sort of in their tens progression.
Yes,
but all right, 125.
Wow. Yeah. Who would have thought 124 episodes ago that we'd be here?
Plus some supplemental episodes. Let's not forget those little guys.
True.
So, I don't know. Not me. I'll tell you that much. I don't even know how many listeners. I mean, I know we have a few.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many we even have.
I have. Yeah. It is unfathomable, but I'm sure it's not unmanageable.
Right. I guess we could plumb the depths. Isn't that how you measure depths?
Yes, you plumb them.
Yeah. So, quick recap, because this is going to be, I think, a little short. We did do a lot last week, and we're probably going to have a slightly larger one next week as well. This is our last of 2015.
Yes.
Last podcast of the year of our lard, 2015.
Indeed.
So, basically, I went to Idaho, braved the roads.
Nice.
Which weren't bad at all until... So I figured it was going to be like Blue Mountain Pass would be terrible. We went through Portland because we're not idiots. So it added time, but we didn't get literally... I mean, it sounds like there were 12 feet of snow on the road over the Snoqualmie Pass.
Oh, yeah. It was... That's why I texted you, because I was like, I know when you guys left, the state trooper that was on the radio on his shift dealt with 30 accidents.
Wow.
On his shift. And that's one trooper.
Yeah. So, no. We went through Portland. The way there was nothing. It was easy as hell. The way back after Hood River on 84 heading toward 205, we ran into punch it chewy snow where it's like flying at you and warp speed.
Hyperspace.
So, that was a little scary. But it wasn't really that bad. Overall, great trip. Had a lot of fun with the kids. Even had a decent time in Idaho, of all things. Had a white Christmas.
Yeah.
I haven't had a white Christmas in forever. It snowed the day before, so it wasn't even snowy and the roads were clear, but everything was covered in white. So it was about as perfect as you could get.
Nice.
Given the circumstances and the fact that it was in Idaho. But
and I like Little Miss's headphones, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Abby those got the are, cat ear headphones.
Yeah,
She loved them so much. Those lit up. They both got Neko Mimi, which is Japanese for cat ear. They really weren't stretching with the naming, but they're little brainwave activated cat ears.
Oh, yes.
So you put a little thing on your prefrontal lobe where all of your emotion sits, and they do stuff with your emotion. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen them at cons
yes.
a number of times.
And we found out, so the ears themselves, you can buy blanks. So Aaron can make them wolf ears or, you know, whatever other. But like, Abby got a fox hoodie that Aaron made for her. And so she made fox ears. And so she puts it on, puts the hoodie on, and pops the ears on. And outside of the hoodie, they do the thing.
Nice.
Pretty neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cool stuff. So, without going too much into... We got a lot of shit. We gave a lot of shit. Christmas time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How was your holiday?
It was good. Went down to Salem for part of it. Got to see the nephews and be the hero of the day with two of their favorite gifts.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what they got on Christmas Day because I went down early to do a split shift for the holidays.
Right.
But I got them... Sound and light lightsabers.
Ooh.
Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Nah.
Sorry. No. Luke and Obi-Wan.
Okay.
So
back
green,
on board.
Green and blue.
Yep. Back on board.
And they were awesome, striking their Jedi poses. they went and saw the movie two nights ago, I think. Because my sister texted and they were just having a ball. Yeah. And then this cool marble thing that's kind of like Mousetrap.
Oh, okay.
But you build these columns and they have bridges and pinwheels and swirlies and little ramp jumps and stuff with all these marbles. And it was like, you know, the 120-piece set for, I don't know, $45.
Sounds fun.
The 250-piece mega set with extra fucking marbles, $65. Well, Uncle Scott had to get the big box.
Of course. I mean, that's a... No, in fairness, that is a hell of a deal.
Oh, yeah.
Comparatively.
It was awesome. They were big pinwheels and small pinwheels, and we broke that box out, and we were playing everything. And then...
So is it like just a giant Rube Goldberg machine game?
Kind of like, yeah. Okay. But it's like an Erector set meets Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, okay.
Here comes the net! And then my Aunt Arlene, my mom's best friend, Arlene, always has a She used to have a Christmas Eve party.
Okay.
But then with travel and people going hither and yon, she now has a Christmas Eve party.
Right.
So that anyone doing family travel can still do the party. And it's for all her neighbors in West Salem. And then family and friends. So it's when I get to see her sons that I went to scouts with. It's the one day a year that I get to see them. And so... Mike can't hear what this is, but it's a plastic bag with cigars because it's the one day a year I get to have a cigar. And then Michael, her middle son, and I always bring competing scotches. So he brought a Lafroy 18, and I brought Distiller's Edition.
Yes.
He bowed down to me again. And the best part is I brought the other Distiller's Edition, so I still have yours here.
Nice.
So I still have a full bottle that I'm
holding
on to and sleeping with every night.
That's excellent. Man, that is a killer scotch. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's... I don't know anything about it. They all taste like sucking on bog water to me. So...
That's okay.
I know.
And then I'm working on Kairos Productions' website, and Connor Marks and Carol Roscoe have a little film called If There's a Hell Below that is screening at Slam Dance this January.
Indeed.
And I am working on their big new rollout for the splash page, announcing that, which I think will be released next week.
Now, this is a big deal because Connor produced this one.
Yes.
Which, if you guys went to... ZoeCon, who gives a fuck? It was, there was the first 10 minutes, I think, they showed, and it was great. Mm-hmm. It was it's the most filmy thing I've seen shown at a ZoeCon.
Yeah. So, and Nathan, who is the director and I think also co-producer, he and Connor have worked on a number of shorts that are always very filmic, and this is a dark, desolate, number, so that's great. And then the Kairos production website is in full swing. I just had Corey for all intents and purposes sign off on it, and Larry, and I got a few notes back to incorporate, but full steam ahead, so hopefully within the second week of January that will be done. So been doing a lot of work, been doing a lot of fun.
Yep.
I think I might be going to Northwest Trek tomorrow.
Ooh.
I know that I gave the gift of Northwest Trek to Brian, Tiffany, and Scout.
Ah.
And I believe that they went. I don't know that they had a good time, though.
Well.
But.
What are you going to do?
Yes. My Seahawks lost. Wah, wah, wah.
To the Rams.
To the Rams. Whatever. We'll win tomorrow. It doesn't matter. We're in the playoffs already. Save everything up and then...
Oh, was this
play
a
hard
non-
when
this
it
was
counts.
A this was
this
not
was
a...
just the regular season.
Okay.
We
so
got,
yeah, that
we got the
matter.
Cardinals coming up this Sunday, which is the last regular season game. They're probably taking the division. Fuck you. And we're going to kick their ass when it matters. So, I'm not worried about that. But I did do a Demon Hunter. No. It wasn't Demon Hunters. It was Special Edition Darkness Rising backer game with Shadows Dungeon run by
Sean K. Reynolds, yes.
And Daniel.
Who, of course, Anthony. Played the Grand Inquisitor in Darkness Rising.
The very, very, as he says, the very, very handsome.
Who has my favorite outtake, I think, Fwyn Defy.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty good Elmer. He does a decent Elmer.
He does.
Scott's gone. What are we doing, Scott?
So Andrew, Daniel, Hawk Robinson, and myself all gamed. I gamed as Flynn.
Okay.
I helped the party.
Yeah.
And we played for 5 hours.
Wow.
We had to rush through a couple scenarios, but Sean brought us through a number of things. I managed to chop the head off of a Hydra. We did fight a cock golem. That one about killed me. I was on my third Flynn by the end of the game.
Okay.
But I did knowingly sacrifice myself.
Right.
To the shadow.
Okay.
By sitting on him in his throne room.
Huh.
So that I could get rid of that one and regenerate all my spell slots.
Right. So
I played Flynn wisely, and it worked.
Did you wear the hat?
I did not. Oh. That would have been a good call.
It would have been hard because I think it's at my house.
Well, I could have worn.
You could have worn the Christmas one.
The Christmas ones, but I was using the laptop, and the camera was already very
tight. On your face.
But yeah, that was fun, and that was my week.
Excellent. So I made a trek to not for the show, but I just wanted to let you know that I finally made a trek to Cost Plus. It wasn't an intentional trek. It was a trek where Aaron was going to Joanne Fabric, which, by the way, around the holiday season is the equivalent of Sarajevo circa 1993. It is terrifying. Okay. And I mean, there are people there swinging. You know what I mean? It is a war zone. So I went over to Cost Plus and confirmed Tim Tams, super cheap at Cost Plus, and you can get Violet Crumble. So there's all sorts of Australian stuff at Cost Plus.
What was the last one?
Violet Crumble. It is a seafoam honeycomb candy covered in milk chocolate.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
Sounds like.
But we, now they are called Arnott's Biscuits, but they're exactly the same. So we can do Tim Tam Slams now.
Yay.
On our own schedule. We don't have to wait. Don't stop sending them, folks.
Yeah.
But we don't have to wait anymore.
We can get them and make that happen.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, let's talk about this. So if you do not know, first of all, watch the Christmas special if you haven't watched it. Highly recommend it. Even if you've listened to it, give it a watch. Part of the Christmas special, after we were done filming it, we did a little promo spot for Hawk Robinson's RPG research project for the trailer with a lift. They're trying to get a down payment for a trailer with a lift to do. We've talked about it before, but it's to do a lot of great stuff, using RPGs to help people with mobility issues and other issues that prevent them from gaming on the regular or gaming at less accessible places. So go give that a watch. We'll put a link to that in the Bardic Knowledge for this guy. But it's pretty heartfelt. It was we all kind of choked up a bit because it was really, it really was warm.
We were going to try and make a nice PSA, maybe a 3-minute deal, turned into a 10 minutes.
But Hawk was nice enough to send us a thank you card and a tin of cookies.
Yes. And did you see?
They are delicious, by the way. I tested them before bringing them here on account of I didn't want you to get poisoned.
Well, so, I appreciate that.
But yeah, have some cookies.
Oh.
They're good.
There's only one layer, and it looks like that box could hold about 6 layers of cookies, Andy.
Well, Erin had to test some, too.
Oh, okay.
She's sick, so she gets...
Yeah, you bet. And I don't really need them. I take that back. I need all of these.
You do. They're really good.
Did you see that Hawk took our video?
Yes.
And then hawked it up a bit?
Yes.
I don't mean it in that way.
No.
But it's pretty awesome.
Yes, and thank you, Hawk, for doing that. I didn't have the time to do it, so what I did is I just put it, I did a light pass on it to bring the the colors up and everything, cropped it a little bit, and then through...
That's when I did the audio for too, right?
I didn't grab your audio, I just pulled what I had.
Really? Because it sounded good.
Yeah, I was shocked. But then a thing happened. So I got all that put together, got it up. My internet in Idaho was garbage.
Mm.
So it took quite a while to upload it. Hawk was able to pull it down and do as he did with it. But luckily, he got it because after that, Premiere updated, and now it won't launch on 2 out of 3 of my machines. 2 out of 3, Premiere just will not launch. It launches.
Should I not update on my?
I think it's too late, and yeah, they'll force you to update. We found that out. Tyler Hill, who also uses Creative Cloud, didn't update. So what it did is in the background, it removed a DLL, so he can't launch the old one either. So he can't launch the previous version, and updating to this one crashes every time he launches. So
hope they're going to have a fix for that soon.
Well, considering between the three of us, that is
a livelihood.
Well, it's $180 a month that they're getting out of us between the three of us, mm-hmm. and the three of us are no longer able to use it.
Right. Awesome.
So go Premiere, you pieces of shit. So I'm glad we were able to get that to you though, Hawk. I'm super glad we were able to get that to you.
We got the other.
We have one more to come to Hawk, but that's not a public one. That's
right.
For him.
Okay.
But this one, everybody go watch it. Go watch. Take a couple of bucks. Shoot it his way to the, Indiegogo because it's a really great cause.
Yep.
So, and we get no kickbacks off of this.
No.
Except for possibly playing some games in an awesome trailer, which we would totally do.
That would be way cool.
Yep. So we should probably get to some questions because we want to keep this one short.
Yes. Because we need to save up our muster for
the New Year's party.
New Year's cast. Are we going to go for Sunday night on that?
I don't know. I think it might be more fun to literally do it Friday morning, like all hungover and stuff.
Hmm.
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet.
Are you coming to the thing at the thing?
So I've got like 4 invitations outstanding, so I have to talk to Aaron about which ones we're doing.
Gotcha.
But I will say being in Tacoma makes that one a little lower on the list.
Yeah.
So we did get an email, by the way, finally. So you can always email us at thebards@twobards.com.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into the questions that came through our other social media, I'm going to ask the ones that came through our email.
Ooh, we got email questions.
From Matthew Hunt.
Nice.
Who hails from Perth, Australia, which, if memory serves, had a really, really nasty incident last week. Something. I don't remember what, but
spider
I remember.
Spider bites?
No.
No.
Human based.
Oh.
Something bad happened in Perth. But I can't remember what it is. I'll go look it up. Anyway. Matthew says, Merry Christmas and season's greetings.
Merry Christmas.
Have a warm one, because it's warm down there.
Yes.
Been a while, but here are some more questions. What's on your list for New Year's events, resolutions?
My resolution is to continue
mm-hmm.
with my new diet and health regime, which, with the shitty weather of December,
mm-hmm.
has slightly fallen off track.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to say I have not slid backwards much.
Right.
Other than I get winded walking again. Mm. But I'll rectify that. But the weight has not been hugely recidivist. Did.
Got it.
Yeah. I think that's right.
That sounds good enough to me.
Sure.
That's a Scrabble word.
Yeah. I was going to go with Rickard started, but.
Yeah, well. So I don't do New Year's resolutions.
Good for you.
Because you break them if you do a resolution. I just in general am trying to do better every year overall. So
be more resolute. Your resolution is to be more resolute.
Yeah, my resolution was made a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and that's a yearly, many years process. As far as events, there are a bunch going on. We'll probably do one of them. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
So. Any previews, spoilers for upcoming Two Bards productions? Nothing yet, but stay tuned.
That's safe.
Yeah, that's pretty safe. Yeah. I will say that not as Two Bards, but individually, we may well be involved with an upcoming, not the Kickstarter, but the product of a Kickstarter, potentially.
Hmm.
I'm not sure yet, though, because people don't get back to me.
Right. Why would they?
Why would they? They one only... person does, and he's great. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on there. Have you watched the new Blu-ray edition of The Gamer's Darkness Rising and the associated commentary tracks yet? Well, we've heard most of the... we were here for most of the commentary tracks that are new.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all of the commentary tracks that are new, we were here for. I've listened to all of the old ones, and I did all the subtitling, so I watched the old movie many, many, many times. That being said, I have not watched the Blu-ray yet. I haven't even opened it yet.
I don't have it yet.
Well, I actually backed the Kickstarter, but we haven't gotten our comps yet either.
Right.
So that's an issue there.
I did enough for the Kickstarter. I wasn't going to...
No, you get a comp for sure. You better get a couple of comps. So.
But I don't also listen to commentary tracks very often.
Yeah.
Especially on our stuff, because like you said...
Yeah, we were there.
I'm either recording as the engineer or talking on most of them.
Right.
And although I need to go back and listen to the drinking game one, because I hear that it's pretty funny, and I think enough time has passed now that I could listen to it with an objective ear.
I don't know, dude. I still think the second you hear your computer getting broke, you'll be upset again.
No, I meant that one is still on my hard drive, never been out anywhere.
Oh, okay.
I'm meaning the original one from the original commentary track.
Right.
That we recorded at Ian Price's house.
Right. Oh, God. Recording it at Ian Price's house means a lot of homemade booze, too.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
We invented the drinking game, and I played it with scotch, and Brian and Christian played it with beer.
Now, Ian is the man who made the vodka that's the only vodka I've ever gotten sick on.
Yep.
And it killed me. So that's interesting.
Sorry.
That's all. It is. Any favorite tracks? Well, of course, the ones we're in.
Yes.
I actually also like the technical tracks quite a bit. So, but that's just me, you know. What do you think of the new Star Wars movie? Watch our Christmas special.
Yeah. No.
We talked about it. We had a noise. No spoiler. We loved it.
Oh, right.
So,
okay.
I will say that every nitpick I have about it, for the most part, you can nitpick anything, but every nitpick I have about it, purely technical. So, there are, like, Max von Sydow is in soft focus at one point for no reason. It was just a technical issue. They chose a shot where he wasn't in focus. Same with Leia. They got a couple of hers where she just wasn't in focus. And I mean, you can find this in any movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, some edits were odd. And I'm sure there are missing scenes where some of the edits were really odd. But, you know, that's all stuff that's not really anything you can fix, you know? So
no.
Overall, loved it.
Yep. I've done some snooping around on the internets about, complaints about the film or the top things. And some are like, J.J. Abrams wasn't originally stuck too much to the original three movies. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, J.J. You rock, buddy.
There is a scene that they talked about that Maz. Gave Luke's lightsaber to Leia, and then somehow gets it. There's a whole sequence where she goes back to the Rebel base.
Be very careful about any spoiler potential stuff.
That's why I'm just naming her name. But going to the base, that didn't actually happen.
Right.
But they shot it all, and JJ was just like, in the scope of things, there's stuff on the day that you would give a limb to make sure you capture that as you're writing the script. It's like all this pacing is good. But when you get in the editing room, and we've done it on a number of things, some of your best stuff is just like, that's really good, but it doesn't serve the story. And that's what I love about this. Everything, I don't care about holes and plots and this wouldn't make sense. It all went from start to finish in a way that was glorious.
Yeah, and there are
it twice now.
There are a lot of people who are complaining about it because they want to be the person who doesn't like it.
Yep.
Fuck you, don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? If that works for you, that's great. I don't care. I love it. To me, it's the Beatles catalog. I fucking love it. You can hate it if you want, but I fucking love it. I will say, the... They some people have complained that there was too much fan service. I will say it skirted the line on too much fan service, but did it in such a way that I didn't care. The fan service was well executed and not heavy-handed enough. It wasn't fucking flying to Kashyyyk for no reason and meeting Prince Chewbacca, okay? It wasn't It wasn't the shit they did in the first three episodes, mm-mm, which was garbage.
Yeah.
Practical effects throughout, throughout. After you watch it, go research the cameos. That's fucking fun, because there are some great ones in there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Oscar, I can't remember his last name.
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac, who was in Ex Machina,
mm-hmm,
with
a big ass beard.
with Domhnall Gleeson. No hair. So Domhnall Gleeson was, yeah, I know, they're both in it. What?
That's where I recognized him from.
And they're in a scene together. So they got to share a scene when he's being tortured. Which, that's not a spoiler, guys.
Right, no, but right. But, right.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. The total Ex Machina nod there.
Yeah.
Go see Ex Machina if you haven't seen it. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Seriously.
That is.
He doesn't even look the same.
No.
Dude does not. We're talking about Isaac again.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac. Does not look the same. He's from Guatemala and looks. Everyone says he looks Indian in Ex Machina. I don't think so. He looks like Shel Silverstein-esque dwarf. Like he could kick the shit out of you. So his beard contains power.
His beard is dwarf. I saw him as maybe, and I don't even know if this is a charged word.
Hmm.
I'm just going to say the name of a game because I know that is a proper title.
Mm-hmm.
Prince of Persia.
Persian. People from Iran call themselves Persian.
Okay. So to me, he looks of Persian descent or perhaps light mulatto.
Which, now that's a charge word. Mulatto is a charge word.
Is it?
Yeah. It is now.
Well, it is now.
Except for, you know, unless you're Nirvana. And you followed up with a mosquito, my libido.
I apologize for that. I thought that was.
You could call them mudbloods. Word.
Anyway.
Just don't say quite
no room. Hair, huge beard.
Okay.
In Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Great hair, great no hair, beard.
No beard. Amazing. He looks like such a different, which is the hallmark of a great actor, because he also acts like a different person.
Yeah.
He is Poe. He is a completely different person, and it's great, and he's wonderful.
Yeah.
And he's probably my new favorite. If I had to pick a new favorite, it would be Poe. Though BB-8's right up there. I was worried BB-8 was going to be like shitty comic relief. He can throw down with R2 and C-3PO any day of the week.
There's a lot of people who are saying that's one of the worst things.
Really?
But thank God it's not Jar Jar. And I'm like, no. BB-8 going down the stairs,
mm-hmm,
has awareness enough that it leans forward to go down the stairs. It moves its head tilting back to counterweight as it goes down. So
I wondered,
while the physics may not hold 100%, at least they're conscious of it. Instead of going bing, bing, bing as a ball going down the stairs, they're like...
Now, and this might not be true for that case, but mm-hmm, most BB-8 stuff is practical.
Yes, and so, I've seen some of the... Which of the little ones did you get? Did you
the Sphero, get the Sphero well, one? I didn't get it for me. I got it. So Damon and Kelsey, Damon Van Hee, of course, from Bandersnatch Studios, is a lovely human being,
mm-hmm,
and is willing to watch our demon cat, who is of the Lord Satan, Lucifer.
With his two not-so-demon cats.
Oh, his are pretty demonic, too. But
oh, are they?
He watches it at our house, and then, like, so they you know, it's really nice. It would cost us 6 BB-8s to board the cat. So, no, we got him the BB-8 as a present. And nice. He apparently loves it. It's there's even video on his Facebook page of him chasing cats around and stuff. I guess the first thing they did was pull the head off, which isn't a big deal for the BB-8.
No.
It goes right back on, but yeah.
I guess there's three different types. The Sphero is one.
The Sphero is the top tier. It's small.
And the Disney one, mm-hmm, the head doesn't even come off.
No.
And it has a roller on
the
bottom.
Roller on the bottom, yeah.
So it's like... Mm.
Yeah, is that the Hasbro one or the...
No, that's the Disney branded.
Okay, because Hasbro has one as well that's also crap.
Right, but at least the head moves.
Yeah, the Sphero one, though, top-notch.
And the internets have Maker
BB-8. Yes, you can make a full-sized one.
That there's a couple online that are amazing that these people just said, I saw this, I 3D printed this.
Yep.
Stuff's out there. Yep. I wish I could make one.
If you look at the... I mean, I knew exactly how the internals worked in my head. Like, I got that figured out. It's programming the feedback mechanism so that the head does... Because it's not a really solid design for a useful robot because of that headpiece, but it looks really cool. So, like, it's programming it that's the really hard part to overcome. So, all right. What do you think of the new Charlie Brown Peanuts movie? Have not seen it.
Nor I.
So
live action cartoon.
No, it's CGI.
Oh,
but it's supposed to be good.
That thing.
It's supposed to be really good. I don't know. That's a football I'm not willing to try and kick.
I think Charles is rolling over in his grave, but
yeah, but it looks really good in 3D. His rolling.
Yeah.
What is your favorite or most hated novelty parody Christmas song? I hate Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I hate it. I fucking hate that song.
It was funny the first year I heard it.
It was
funny. The first season.
It was funny when I was too young to realize that guy was... He killed his wife and was explaining it to his kid. Or to his grandkid. So that's... Yeah. Don't like it. So Matt says he'll be sending us those Tim Tams in the new year as they wouldn't survive. That's true. It is hot down there. Best... All the best. I'm looking forward to the new year. We are looking forward to it as well, Matt and Samantha Watt.
And thank you very much for the questions, the email, and the lovely patronage.
Yes, we enjoy your warm ass
Christmas.
And patronage.
But
yeah,
patronage as well.
Indeed.
So we have a few questions to get caught up on from the Facebooks. Nobody said anything on Twitter. Dennis has a lot of things to say here, catching up as he does once a month now. While the likelihood of many actors ever achieving superstardom is remote, no shit, it's obvious that it has a tremendous impact to their lives. Okay.
We'll keep reading. There's more than
one. Have either of you ever seriously considered this? What would you do to keep yourself sane if someday you got a part or participated in a project which ultimately prevented you from doing mundane things that we take for granted without being accosted by crazy fans or paparazzi and stuff? What do you mean? I was part of the Gamers Darkness Rising. Is this something often thought about or discussed in the acting community?
It's really not something you have to discuss. Generally, if... like when that kind of stuff happens, and I think, you know, you're thinking of things like your Jennifer Lawrence's, who end up in a breakout role, and for some reason the internet just gloms onto them, and so people are always trying to get upskirt shots or get a picture of them beating a dog or whatever, because the paparazzi is just a gigantic vulture culture. But talking about it in the acting community, first of all, I don't think it's really talked about outside of LA. Even Vancouver, I don't see having a... You don't see shit tons of paparazzi on the streets of Vancouver. You know what I
no,
mean?
No, it's Milan and Cannes Film Festival.
Right,
and
right. Well, film festivals are all over. But in LA, they're actually part of the fabric of the town.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go out to a nightclub or whatever, you're going to have people on you if you have more than a modicum of acting success. I don't think it's that big of a deal to almost anyone, and if you get that type of role, you're gonna know it's happening, so you're gonna have time to react to it. The best reactions that I've seen have got to be either the turnaround reactions, where, like, I think it was Elijah Wood started taking pictures of the paparazzi. There's the complete and total compliance, where if you are open with them, you become less interesting to them.
Yep.
And then there's just the live a good life. Because then you're completely uninteresting. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Yep.
You know, if you're John Hamm and you're, you know, you're sporting some junk through your pants, everybody wants to get it. But it doesn't matter what kind of life you live. People are going to start taking pictures of you. But the more you ignore it, the less power you give them.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do, of course, is say yes to press stuff. Because if a newspaper has a bunch of press about you, they aren't sending people out to try and dig something up.
Right. When you're reclusive and you're the hard to get picture.
Yeah. Now, or
they'll try to get it.
I mean, you can go super reclusive. You can go Johnny Depp and leave the country. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Where they have laws about that stuff and you can get like massively jailed. Not massively, but you know, pretty bad. But no, I don't think it's something that comes up. If we're going to a con or a game store or something,
mm-hmm.
like there's an expectation that you're going to get recognized, you know, potentially. It's actually kind of sad when it doesn't happen. But, you know, there's sort of an expectation that people are going to see you and or if we go to RadCon, us, that we're going to get stopped, get talked to. In a small amount, it's great. It's wonderful.
That's why I go to cons.
Exactly.
Is to meet the people that appreciate and make possible me mm-hmm. doing what I really love to do.
Right. So I think what we really talk about in terms of striving for isn't... It's not George Clooney-level paparazzi magnet. It's more your, you know, two seasons on Battlestar con... fan magnet, you know, like the mm-hmm. Firefly. People aren't jumping over themselves to take photos of you know, Alan Tudyk
or Nathan
Fillion.
Fans
are, yeah, but not paparazzi.
Right,
that's much better.
He's also talked mm-hmm. about the crazy fans and stuff, and I have seriously thought about it at times
mm-hmm.
when I started moving outside of community theater.
Right.
And started to do film. I was like, and get an agent and all of that. I said, am I willing to give up some of my privacy? Mm-hmm. Because you see the pictures of, not that I'm going to be Brad Pitt or Denzel Washington or Tom Cruise or any of those people, but they have to alter their lives a mm-hmm. bit to go places. On the flip side, Thor,
Chris Hemsworth
walks down. I mean, talk about a recognizable giant man.
Mm-hmm.
Walked into a coffee shop in downtown New York that a friend of mine was working at
mm-hmm.
with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Not a blip.
Yep.
Nobody comes up. Tom Skerritt lives here in Seattle, and mm-hmm. nobody's. I think that I'm super excited for Boyega.
Mm-hmm.
With all of this and the Star Wars and everyone and I all the people that are involved in this now starting to be recognized outside of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, if you assume there's going to be paparazzi and crazy fans and all of that stuff, get out.
Yeah.
Because I assume I'm going to be asked by courteous fans, the people who have already approached me,
right,
or don't approach me. I went to the game shop down here to buy some stuff and the guy was like, oh yeah, I know who you are. And I'm like, I didn't even somehow something I said that we had recorded a video there. He's like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I heard about that. I've seen your film. Totally nice guy. The worst fan I can think of
mm-hmm.
interaction that I've ever had
mm-hmm.
is just the fan usually later at night when mm-hmm. people have been imbibing, but sometimes during the day, that doesn't know when to be done with the questions of mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. after 30 minutes and let other people talk to you or go on his merry way so that you can go right. use the bathroom.
Right.
Nobody is... That is the worst thing that I have ever encountered.
Right.
And that's how I want to... I mean, God bless someday that I should be rich and famous.
Mm-hmm.
I will gladly accept the money and change my lifestyle accordingly.
Right.
But I'm going to be that person. Hey, how's the paparazzi doing? How you do? And yeah. I'm not going to live a pristine life, but I'm going to acknowledge them.
Right, right, right.
And I'm not going to run around and say, get away from me. Because like you said, the minute you treat them with power, mm-hmm. they have it.
Yep.
The minute you take it away and acknowledge their existence,
yep,
it goes away really quick.
So just post a bunch of naked pictures of yourself now. Get ahead
right.
of them.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Boo! Yep. Bitches!
Now, there's a... I think it was Jimmy Fallon took Chris Pratt around New York City and nobody recognized him.
Yeah.
Like, that's... You know... But there is a... there is something to be said about a lot of those 25 to 35 year old leading actors. Mm-hmm. They all kind of blend together these days.
New York. Nobody looks up in New York.
You don't have people with the starkly different appearances. Like, you know, you go back and watch a movie from the 50s. Every leading person was starkly different. They did not look at all like the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have, I mean, and Daisy Riley's amazing, and I think that her acting is incredible, but Daisy Riley, Natalie Portman, Keira Knightley, very similar looking.
Yeah.
Very, very similar looking. But then most of the people in that movie weren't. They were very unique looking.
Yeah.
You know, John Boyega, totally unique looking. Oscar Isaacs, we've already talked about that. BB-8, it looks a little like Danny DeVito, but, you know.
But, you know, who doesn't?
Who doesn't look a little
deep down inside? Who doesn't look?
Deep down inside is where we all look like Danny DeVito.
Ray Perlman, yeah. Ron Perlman, it's all the same.
Lean over and touch your feet and everyone's Danny DeVito.
Rob McLennan asks, to what do you attribute, or one of his questions is, to what do you attribute the resurgence of science fiction and fantasy television shows? Is there one you could see yourself being in?
People our age having money, disposable money. That's I think the big resurgence is nostalgia is marketable big time. And it always has been. So you look at sort of the ages of people. You've got baby boomers who fucking loved sci-fi, loved it. And then you've got Gen Xers who loved the resurgent sci-fi. They were big on things like The X-Files and things like, which of course is making a comeback. You're seeing a lot of stuff from about 20 to 30 years ago being huge right now. Because the people who watched it as kids are having kids and miss that time, miss that sort of entertainment.
And they're making the entertainment. Mm-hmm. They're the decision makers now.
Well, that's just it. And it's exactly what you said. Abrams is the demographic of the people who watched the movie.
Joss Whedon,
Brad Bird. He might be a little older.
Gunn.
James Gunn. Exactly.
Favreau. All of those guys were geeks growing up. And
Favreau's so money, he doesn't even know it. That's what makes him so money.
Yeah.
So.
I would love to be in Arrow or Flash. Either of those I could see myself being in. Yeah. I would love to have been in Battlestar Galactica, the original series. But
you'd have been a little bit wee at that time.
Buck Rogers. Beady, 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 beady.
When's that remake happening?
Yeah, hope so.
Beady, beady, beady. Mel Blanc's dead. Womp, womp.
Paula Moran writes in and asks, will either of you be attending Gen Con next year? What are your favorite convention snacks? Personally, I bring my hot wing trail mix and cinnamon cookies, though in a pinch, peanut M&Ms work as well.
Synonym cookies. I wonder if that's a play on words, because it's synonym. Huh, yeah. No idea about attending Gen Con. If I had to guess, I'd say probably not for me.
I'm guessing probably not for me either. Yeah. But
I'd have to be hosted is the problem. Because at this point, there's no money for... there's no real money for lodging or travel. But also, lodging has been... Like, you'd have to be hosted to get lodging at this point.
Yeah.
So, unlikely that... favorite convention snacks are anything I can get my hands
steak
on
and
between
shake.
Steak and Shake. I am not a huge fan of. I like their French fries.
Yes,
those are good. But
their side by side milkshakes are pretty badass.
I don't know if you heard, but they had a little health scare. Not during Gen Con, but a bit after. Yeah, so some people got sick.
Chipotle.
Well, Chipotle's in Washington. They were all closed.
Boston.
So what's my favorite, like I said, my favorite convention snack, water.
I was going to say Powerade and Fruit Punch Rockstars.
Well, not anymore on the Rockstars, but yeah, water, 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 water.
Yeah.
Hydrate. My favorite snack is hydrating.
Yes.
In fact, I can't even really think of another, like you don't even get hungry, but you are so thirsty.
Yeah. That's my big thing is beverage is, and I also will go with the peanut M&Ms.
Mm, peanut M&Ms are good.
Coconut M&Ms, pretty badass in small doses.
Yeah, they, like one or like split a bag.
Yep.
Those caramel apple M&Ms
Ooh.
That we got from Japan.
Oh. So, Still got some somewhere. Those are
my new favorite M&M. They really are. Because
they could kill me.
I've never tasted anything like that before. So those were primo. But yeah, just like anything that's easily portable, that you can eat after sanitizing your hands with hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, you don't want anything soft that's going to soak that off your hand.
Yeah.
Cause that stuff's really bitter because of the agent they put in it. But, you know, cause here's essentially what going to a con as a guest is like.
Swimming in a petri dish?
Swimming. Stand. Shake a lot of hands. Talk about stuff. Try to get people to buy stuff. Go do your panels. Between panels, it's like high school. It's like mm-hmm. you got to get to your locker, you know. Nap, maybe, if you're lucky. Because you're not getting sleep at night. So get a nap in when you can. Crank the AC up. And you eat and drink when you can. But drinking, hands down, staying hydrated is absolute. It's an absolute must. It's the key to staying healthy, too.
Yep.
Every time I've not been hydrated, con crud. Every time I've stayed hydrated, not a problem.
Yep. Because it just flushes everything out. And silver water. No. Yeah. Don't buy silver water.
Turn blue.
It's a $5 hoax for a... Oh, man.
Colloidal silver? Is it?
I don't know. It's dissolved in the
don't buy silver water.
Rob McLennan also asks, on sort of the same note, what do you find to be the most compelling comic book villain?
Joker. Always Joker. Always and forever. Maybe Lucifer, but Joker right up there.
Yeah, I'd go with that. And also the bad guy in The Watchmen.
Ozymandias?
Yes.
He's a good guy too, though.
Right. That's why I find him compelling.
I would almost say Rorschach. He's great. And is he a villain or is he not? Because he's a hero who does villainous things.
Yes.
He's
kind of my favorite in that regard.
He's a great gray hero. He's a great anti-hero hero. You know, he's wonderful. But in all the new stuff, like if I had to pick my favorite Marvel villain now, it's probably going to be the Purple Man. After Jessica Jones, Kilgrave was great, but underutilized too. Probably underutilized because he always got what he wanted, so he never had to push it.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Didn't like the viral thing, but outside of that, very cool concept. It's essentially if Professor X were a bad guy. So very neat.
Oh, but Vincent.
Oh, yeah. Kingpin, man. Oh. Well, Kingpin's good. Again, here's my thing. Like, I don't consider Lex Luthor a villain.
No, he's an insinuator.
He's an industrialist. He's trying to get humans to do shit on their own.
It. Yeah.
He wants humans to fight their own battles.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of, like, really the biggest proponent of humanity left in these universes of gods. So I kind of like Luthor for that reason. I don't find him to be as villainous as all that. He did steal 40 cakes, and that was terrible. But have you not seen that?
No.
I'm sure Link Master General will link that.
Okay.
But yeah, Lex Luthor stole 40 cakes. That's as many as 4 tens, and that's terrible. It's from a kid's book.
Laura Adams has a statement for us.
Yay, I like statements.
Okay, two bards. I had a really good bah humbug going on, then watched your Christmas vodcast.
Oh boy, it must be
now
worse.
I have caught the holiday spirit.
Yay!
Oh well, happy holidays. Wink. So, yeah, way to go, Andy Scott, Brian, and Tom.
Andy Scott, Brian, and Tom.
Bringing at least one piece of holiday cheer to the mass.
So I was obviously the host of Christmas Past. You had to have been the host of... No, Brian was the host of Christmas Present.
Yeah.
You were the host of Christmas Future. And Tom Brophy is what happens if the chains of Bah Humbug wrap around you. So he was the Jacob Marley, right?
Sure.
Let's go with that.
I'll go with that. That's awesome. And last but not least, Paula Moran writes in with, any fun holiday hijinks to share?
We kind of shared
Other
them.
Than the vodcast... Yeah.
That was
I didn't
fun.
Really have many hijinks.
No, that was fun though. I do have a story. a quick holiday story.
Please do share.
So you helped me with this hijink.
Oh, well.
So I wanted to get Aaron a very specific gift. Now, this gift is really hard to find, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
And there in Seattle, it's extremely hard to find. But more so, Washington State has 10% sales tax and Idaho has 5%. So... So what I did is I had Scott, because so Aaron had minor surgery last week. She's fine. Don't worry about it. It was elective. It's good stuff. She's been wanting done for a while. So, she's out of the gene pool as I already am. So that's great. Anyway, so she was, I was by her side pretty much constantly and didn't really have a chance to go do anything about this gift.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott calls ahead to five places in Boise and finds one that has it. It's a sewing machine that she's been wanting for quite some time.
Really awesome.
Really awesome. Dude, she loves it. Anyway, so I get down, drop her off, make up a story about going to try and get my dad a gift, which is funny because the story turned out to be what I actually got my dad. And it was pitch perfectly accurate, but I played it as if I didn't know how golf clubs worked at all. So I was like, oh, you know, I went to this place and they wanted to charge me $10 for a gift certificate and they wouldn't sell it to me unless he was there to fit it and all this other stuff. All that's true about golf clubs, except they totally will sell them to you and then the person can come back in and fit them on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought him a Big Bertha, by the way, which he was super happy about it, I think.
Good club.
But... that's not what I went out to do the night we got down. So she goes, she lays down because we've been in the car, you know, and her belly button where they did the incision is like throbbing. So I'm like, all right, I'll be right back. They were open for another 45 minutes. Now, this is Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Boise, Idaho, which is they don't do Amazon there. They're a very physical shopping kind of culture. It's more southerny sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the roads were packed and I have to go by the mall to get to where I'm going. So anyway, I got there. Jones Sewing and Vac, by the way, awesome place. If you live in Boise, Idaho and need anything done with a sewing machine, go to Jones Sewing and Vac. They're such great people. They had the order ready to go. All I had to do was pay for it. They had gift wrapped it without telling me, which is great.
Now, did you contact them after I did?
So you sent me the info. Right. I called them to tell them I was coming to pick it up and find out how late they were open. They said, yeah, we're open until 6. And so I busted down, got it. They were really awesome.
Gift wrapped. That's awesome.
I know. I put it in the back of the car, drove back to her parents' house. And I was just going to wait and I was going to do the under the tree thing, right? Like, haha, she'll never know. And I'll put it under the tree and it'll be great. Then she starts in Aaron on how we don't have any patience together and we never have anything under the tree because we always give each other our gifts early because we can't wait. And I was like, oh, really? So I go out and I grab the box and I walk it in and put it under the tree and I'm like, don't touch it. So she's like, what is it? What is it? She didn't think it was... So she thought, you know, like I gave her a bunch of fake hints. I gave her one real hint, but it was a math hint, so she couldn't figure it out because this thing has a 5.0 in the title. And so I gave her a Pythagorean theorem hint to where the hypotenuse would have been 5, and she didn't want to work it out. She was like, nah, that's math. I'm bored. But
good for you, Aaron.
So together with Scott, we were able to get this whole thing worked out, and we hijinked it and got her a surprise present that blew her away. I can't even share any of the pictures because she was crying so much. So it was pretty awesome.
That's outstanding.
Yep.
I'm very excited that I could be a part of that.
You were a part of it.
Okay, I will share a little hijinks.
Little hijinks.
So there's something that I swore I would never get.
Mm-hmm.
That is a selfie stick.
Oh.
I
thought it was going to be a Prince Albert, but whatever.
That as well. Well, I'll get a Prince Albert in a can, but not my can. So I got this awesome, you know, those Gorilla tripods,
yep,
multi-articulating.
The Gorilla Grip, I think is what they call them. Yeah. It looks like a three-fingered hand that can twist. And
so she got me one for my camera, right? My phone, which will be great at acting class.
Yep.
Because I started recording, which reminds me, I need to upload those videos. but now I'll have something sturdy to set the phone on and not have my hands. And then I opened the next thing, which was a selfie stick. Now, the funny thing is, they come in various colors. My sister, super book smart. Obvious smart, sometimes not so much. Didn't realize they came in colors. Luckily, I got the one I got, and Dad got the one that was the gray grip. But mine was hot pink.
Cool.
And I said, hey, thanks a lot for the hot pink, you know, selfie stick, just what I need. And she's freaking out. And there's my two nephews. And I'm like, this is a teachable moment. And I'm like, what's wrong with hot pink? No, I'll take it back. I'm like, why? It's going to be easy for me to find. Most guys aren't going to want hot pink, so they're not going to touch it. And it's perfect. And the boys are like, yeah, hot pink's great. I'm like, okay, now, Lori.
In the late 80s, hot pink was great for everybody. Remember that.
Oh, I know.
I wore hot pink a lot.
I did too, but it's not nowadays.
I guess. It's a color. But
it's an amazingly well-engineered piece of equipment.
Now, wait, does it even work with your phone? Because I've heard they just turned the volume up.
Nope. Works great with my phone. Took a picture.
Neat.
But it's not, I thought that they were plastic. It's not. It's metal. It's about 5 feet long, so I could get the entire family taken with it, Bluetooth. But it's my thing was, if your phone is on there and it's at a weird angle, it'll just spin after three uses of pulling it out and putting it back in. It is grooved.
Oh, nice.
So that they can't spin.
Neat.
Super heavy duty. I'm really excited that I now have a selfie stick that I will never use,
but
I'm really super impressed with the engineering that went into this thing.
Hold on. You might use it because a selfie stick with a little bit of tweaking becomes a portable boom. So use the back camera.
Boom.
Boom. Now we can do boom shots with our phones. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this has gotten so much. Oh, okay. So, yeah. Super excited. Super excited.
Next shot clock challenge, we're going to kill.
Yeah. But I just like the fact that I stuck that thing all the way out. I had my arm fully extended, and you can't even tell that my... I mean, you can see that my shoulders
lifted. But it looks like you're holding the phone, pretty much.
No, couldn't even see the arm. Wow. I stuck it way out there, and it's like, boom.
Neat.
Yeah. So much for a short podcast.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Oh, so, goodbye to 2015.
Goodbye, and glad we knew you.
Glad we knew
you. This year, I can actually say no good riddance.
No, I had a great year. Yeah.
It was very good. Hope everyone else's year was just as good. And if not, hey, guess what? A couple new days, ones. New ones coming around the corner.
So we will talk to you guys next year. And in the meantime, thank you to...
Hawk Robinson,
Leslie Sedlak,
Todd McKimmy,
Donald Evans,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Bradley Swan,
Trampus Johnson,
Gordon DeDuke,
Digby DeDavis LLC,
Paula Moran,
Amanda Cook,
Mark Bevier,
James Herbert,
Adam Morey,
Mike Thompson,
Tim Martin,
Rob McLennan,
Lotta Jerv,
Laura Adams,
Tom Brophy,
Dougie Sharp,
Justin Everett,
Brittany Bentley,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
Rival Guy,
and Chad Jones.
And a real quick Mike Thompson moment. On Christmas, he had his car broken into and had his derby gear stolen, but they did recover it. So congratulations, Mike Thompson, for not losing all your gear.
Who's Mike Thompson?
You just thanked him. He's a Patreon backer. He used to work for the Escape.
Oh, there he was. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So we were going back midway through the...
It was a bad Christmas, but it was a very good follow-up day.
Good.
So,
yeah. Yay.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson, I don't want to hear about the science of Star Wars. It's a fantasy first. So come on and tell me all the things wrong, and I will tell you... Shove it up your wormhole.